Good evening. I hope everyone has had an opportunity to take a little time to rest, to eat a good meal, fill your bellies up, and take a little time to relax, maybe watching TV or being with your family. And I hope, as we gather tonight, that we're ready to spend some time in worship to God. And I want to thank Ralph for leading us in those beautiful songs. And it is always an enjoyment when we can sing together. Tonight, for just a few moments, we're going to talk about time. Now, if I were to ask for a show of hands, or few in number, but I bet we'd have 90% here have a watch or some kind of time on them somewhere. Or a cell phone, not as many as I thought, but how many of us know the time? How many of us check the time? I bet we do often throughout the day, following up with what we have to do, because many of our lives are scheduled, and we have a schedule. Even if we're retired, we have a schedule, and we like to eat at a certain time. We like to get up in the morning at a certain time. We like to go to bed at a certain time. Maybe we have a program on television that comes on at a certain time. Our life from the day we're born are structured within the time that we've been given. And as each of us knows and understands, we have time, right? We've been given a certain amount of time. Well, tonight I want to look at the idea of time. How important it is to us in our lives. Whether we realize it or not, it is. And how we're using our time. When you think about time in our culture, you think about music, and you think of, I don't know how many would know, Tracy Lawrence's song a few years ago, Time Marches On. And if I dip a little bit further back in time, Billy Joel had a song, We Didn't Start the Fire. It's all about the march of time, right, through the years. And if I go back just a little further, I can go back to Harry Chapin's song, Cats in the Cradle, and about a father and the time he has with his son. Movies. A few years ago, Justin Timberlake made a movie that was all based on time. I think the title was In Time. And he had a certain amount of time, and people were trying to buy more time. How many people were trying to buy time today? Go back a little bit further. Who remembers the movie that came out? Back to the Future. All centered on time. And even in the literature that we read, now not as popular as it was at one time, but Time Magazine, the very title, identifies it as something that's centered around time. And we could go on and on like 60 minutes. Again, in the title of the show, 60 Minutes. We're going to tell you all the news you need to know in 60 minutes. We like time, right? We like to use our time. That's why we have microwaves. Used to be, you wanted to make a meal, you had to use an oven. And then we invented the stove top. Got a little quicker. And then we got even quicker with microwaves, and we'll continue as time goes, I'm sure, as time goes, to be wanting things quicker and faster. And so we like to have time. Even in our pursuit of time, we've created legends like the Fountain of Youth. In the Fountain of Youth, people seek after time to go back to their younger days. And they're pursuing those things. Think about this, Solomon in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Listen to how he discusses time. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up. a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak. We could learn that one sometimes, couldn't we? A time to love, a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What's his point? What's he writing all that about? Solomon, the wise man, the Ecclesiastes, about all the things he's learned in his life. Life is filled with all these different events in our life. And we need to understand how to best utilize one of the best gifts we've been given, which is time. God's measured it out to all of us a certain amount of time, a time to use as best we can. And so since it's a limited amount, we need to make the most of it. Well, for just a few moments tonight, I want to talk about making the best use of our time. What time we have. What time we have with our families. What time we have with each other. Most importantly, the time we have on this side of life to be faithful, to live for God, the time to build a relationship with God. Look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, as he's talking to those who are there to hear from the great teacher. In the middle of that, in Matthew chapter 6, he tells those who are listening, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." What was Jesus saying to those who were listening that day? What's he saying to us? Much like today, people are pursuing all kinds of different things in life. We're doing what we think's best with their time. They were people who were pursuing things of wealth, things of possession. They wanted to possess. They wanted to store up goods. It's like the old farmer who got a large crop in, and he went and gathered it all, and he didn't have enough barns to fill it, so he built more barns to store more up. And what God said to him, "Do you not know this very night your soul will be required of you?" They were putting their hopes and dreams in things that weren't lasting, things that could not exceed time. As somebody mentioned this morning, I think, in Bible class, you can't take it with you. But so many are trying to build up, looking for security, for happiness and enjoyment. And Jesus is telling them, you're looking in all the wrong places. You're seeking after the wrong goals in life. You need to restructure your life. You need to take again a long look at who you are, what you're pursuing in this life. Ask yourself these three questions. When you make an important decision about how much of a role, when you're making an important decision, how much of a role does God play in that decision? How much consideration do we give to God when we're making big decisions, even little decisions? How much does God play a role in that? I hope a large one, but we need to ask ourselves the question, don't we? Number two, ask yourself the question, how much of our daily lives involves devoted time to God? We devote our time to all kinds of different things. Like we mentioned earlier, we structure our days. Many of us do, and some of us very structured. And we give so much time to this, and this. Where does God fall in that structure of our daily schedule? our daily routine. How much it is given to all kinds of different things, but none of it to God. And then thirdly, ask yourself the question, how much of our daily lives involved devoted time to evil things or useless things? We read through the book of Ecclesiastes, and he gets down to the very end, and he says, all things are vain. Vanity of vanities. What's he talking about? Solomon had pursued his life, his time, in all kinds of evil and sometimes, and some things, just vain things. And what he learned in the end was, it was all useless. It was wasted time. How much time do we waste on things that either bring no profit or things that are actually evil? Defining our eternity. How are you using your time? In verse 21, if you go back there, he said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We talked this morning about passion, right? Our passion in life. We asked the question, what are your passions? This is pretty much the same, isn't it? Where do you devote your time? Because that is going to showcase a lot about who you are and what really concerns you. If we choose to use our time in the pursuit of fading material wealth, then we are chasing after an empty dream. In verses 19 and 20, he tells us that those things that are material, those things that are earthly, that we're trying to accumulate, that we think are going to bring us security, what's going to happen in the end? Somebody's going to steal it, or it's going to decay and rust away. Our treasure should not be in those things, because in the end, those things will always leave us empty. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's see what Paul wrote to his son in the faith, Timothy. He says, 1 Timothy chapter 6, and beginning in verse 6, now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And that Paul is just echoing the thoughts of Matthew chapter 6, 19 to 21, isn't he? He's trying to encourage the young preacher. I want you to preach this message to the Christians. Don't let your pursuit in life, don't let your time be wasted in pursuing becoming rich. Because what you need to realize is when you pursue those things, you notice he says the word in verse 9, desire to be rich. Even the desire. A lot of people in this world who desire to be wealthy. Many don't ever reach that dream. So it's not just the accumulation where you get to the point and you say, ah, I'm finally rich. Because there's so many who never get there. And then they look back at all that time they've wasted in pursuing an empty dream. I think it can be rightly said that there's never been a rich man who said, I have enough. I'm done now. I have enough. What do the rich want? They always want to be richer. That's not a desire that we're ever going to fulfill. Because the more we get, the more we want. So Paul is trying to remind his readers, he's trying to remind Timothy, don't let that be your pursuit in life. Don't waste your years away pursuing something that will gain you nothing. But pursue faith and live. leave greediness behind. The end of that in verse 10, look at the very end, he says, those who have pursued those desires, who have greedily went after wealth, what happens in the end? And pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Who here wants to get the end of your life, the end of your time on this earth, and be filled with sorrow? Well, he gives us the recipe for doing that. Desire those evil things. Desire to be wealthy in this life. And you'll end up being sorrowful in the end. But then also the counter of that's true as well, right? If we desire righteousness, if we desire faith, if we desire holiness, we can leave this life happy and content because we know we're saved in the blood of Jesus Christ. If we choose to use our time in the pursuit of the eternal, then we will capture something that will last forever. It really becomes an argument in our minds over the here and now, temporary, that feels good right now, versus the eternal, I'm going to have to wait for. They call patience a virtue for a reason, right? It's something earned. We're not born patient. Meet any child, and you'll see one of the least patient people on the earth. Because it has to be learned. They have to learn how to become patient. And here's the sad truth. As adults, many of us need to continue to learn to be patient because we struggle with it. Notice 1 Timothy chapter 6, 11 and 12. 1 Timothy 6, 11 and 12, Paul writes, but you, O man of God, flee these things. What things? Those evil pursuits of life. Those things that war against the Spirit. Flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Pursue the holy things. That means what? I've got to lay time aside. I've got to structure my time so that I am doing those things. So that I'm feeding my spirit. So that I'm feeding my soul with the Word of God. We don't become faithful Christians by happen chance. We don't just wake up one day and be a faithful Christian. It takes work. And that means we've got to give our time to pursue that. Second Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16 through 18. Notice what Paul wrote to the Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 4, beginning of verse 16, he says, therefore, do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. Why were they losing heart? They were getting older. They were being persecuted. They were having to fight a tough fight. Notice he continues, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Who's doing that? Who's renewing us? For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen. Why? They trick us. Our senses, our sense of sight, hearing, smell, taste, touch, they can fool us. Satan will use those to make us feed the temporary. He'll use those things to feed our lust and our desires. Paul said, don't look at those. You've got to train yourself to see what the world can't see. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Oh, wait, sorry. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Retrain my brain there. The evidence of things not seen. That's why the world struggles with the concept of God. Because they've been tricked by the things they see, by the things in this world, to forget about God, to think they're bigger than God. Paul says, don't do that. Don't fall for the illusion. He continues, do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. When we give consideration to how we're going to use our time in this life, what we're going to do with our lives, we need to give consideration to how we're using our time, how we structure our day. I'll go back to the questions we asked at the beginning. When you're making an important decision, does God get factored in? How much of your day do you devote to God? And how much of your day do you devote to evil pursuits, to useless, vain things? To pursue any of those things is to go contrary to God. I don't want to find myself at the end of this life having to answer to God and to myself for my wasted years. Let's don't waste time. Let's devote it to God. It's at this time we have an opportunity to respond to God's call for salvation. Maybe we are finding ourselves losing the battle of our time. Maybe we've devoted too much to things that just aren't that important, to the detriment of our faith. Maybe we need to repent today, whether it's in a public way or maybe it's just in a private way between you and God. You have an opportunity to respond. Why not do it tonight? We read the text earlier today from Romans 13, verse 11. Awake. Awake. Now is the time of salvation. Now is the time to get our lives right, to get our schedules right, to do a little work on our clocks. If you have a need, any need, why don't you respond now as together we stand and sing?
Let's change number 400.